the culture of the church has been on the mind of God lately. And not just how we pray or how we dress, but how we view our relationship to being a church. One of the things that has inspired me the most, and I want you guys to know that I have been blessed by every single one of you because we are a real church. And unfortunately, there aren't a lot of those left. I don't sense, and I listen intently for the voice of the Spirit of God, because your senses have to be sharp. I don't sense any division, any fear, any doubt, any unbelief, any unforgiveness, any anger, any confusion. I don't sense any of that from any person in this room. It takes a lot of work to get to that place. It takes a lot. Now, we all have different personalities, and that brings different perspectives. But I pay attention to the voice of the Holy Spirit when it comes to what you guys are dealing with and what the Spirit of God might say to me about a battle you might be fighting. But I don't sense any resistance to growth from the people in this room. Now, there might be challenges to your own personal comfort level. That's all right. We all got to get a little less comfortable. But, you know, there were times when we would stand up here. I remember Dad and Mom, they would get up there and preach for 2 hours straight trying to push us to new levels, trying to beat us into growing up. And that takes a strain on you because you wanna get to the growing part, but you're always putting a fire out here. Somebody got a problem with this person. Somebody got a grudge against that person. Somebody almost beat that person up in the parking lot. We had a couple of parking lot incidents. I ain't naming no names, you know. But none of that's here anymore. And when Jalen was talking about, you know, other people online and around the world and stuff interacting with our church, that really ministered to me because you can't fit everybody in one room. I don't care how big the room is. If you can fit everybody in one room, your church is not big enough. Now, the goal of a church is not to be as big as possible. It's to be as effective as possible. But effectiveness breeds growth. And people respond to real. And anybody that comes into this room is challenged by the fact that we are a real family. I feel safe spiritually in this congregation. We have good leadership. We have the best leadership. When she says that she's praying and sowing for us and on our behalf, that's not a statement she just makes lightly. I know her lifestyle. I can tell you, don't call her this time because I know she's praying. Other people can, I'm going to stand here. See, if I don't walk around, then I won't preach. It's taking every bit of self-control I have to not just, because they're right there. My notes are, I got 20. Can I do a little bit? Okay. Baby, get me my Bible. She said I got 20 minutes. Just let me. Yeah, thank you, baby. Because, look, you can blame Dad for this one. I'm not even going to try to get a scripture out. I'm just going to I'm gonna go to my notes a little bit. I don't like this microphone. This is weird. This feels so wrong. I don't know how you do it every week. No, it's not the mic. It's holding a microphone. I talk with my hands, and I can't. Okay. I can do all things. No, I don't need podium. If you give me the podium, it's going to be 45 minutes. And y'all don't want to hear me talk that long. I got good senses. I'll be all right. I'm going to give you one nugget. Because next week is prayer night, so I won't be preaching. So you can chew on this nugget for a while. Y'all just don't know how hard it is to not preach. Okay, I'm gonna give you this one. This was just from yesterday. I'm gonna be teaching about church culture, developing our culture. Not because there's anything wrong with our culture, but all growth is cultural. It begins culturally. Because your standards are cultural. The way you resolve conflict is cultural. Everything about you is a product of a culture, whether it's the culture of your home, the culture of your family, the culture of your community, your racial culture, whatever it is, it's all a culture. You are the product of your culture, and you choose how your culture affects you. And then you create culture by how you respond to things. And the Lord has given me insight into how many of the flaws in modern church culture came about. Because if we're not careful, when you start growing, you start getting exposed to different spirits, different opportunities for influence, and different influences. And we have to be on guard that our culture, this culture in this room, cannot be destroyed by growth, because it's going to be challenged. However many people we bring in, however far we reach, however much of the community we touch, what this is right here has to remain the same. Because this is what that upper room looked like. One accord. Not everybody agreeing with everything. When you start studying church history, you find out there were a lot of doctrinal disagreements. But they were of one heart. They were chasing the same thing for the same reason. And the Holy Spirit can divide the wheat from the tare. And that's one of his responsibilities as the governor, is to divide what's pure from what's impure, if we're chasing the right thing. But I'm going to give you this nugget about culture. Because I was conferring with the Holy Spirit about the source of culture. And Pastor Diana, you can use this one. I give you permission to use this nugget with my blessing. I just went. I got it while sitting in the morning message. I borrowed it. The Lord said, it is becoming all too common a trend in the church to replace the lordship of Christ with conservative values. And I try not to get political, but you know, it's 2022. Might as well go out with a bang. This is a most dangerous tactic, because many of these values in and of themselves are good and wholesome. But here's the key. Culture without lordship becomes the worship of a style of living. Or even a political position. And all of these things are subject to human flaws. Only the lordship of Christ is perfect. You see, one of my initiatives for this ministry is that we be more active in our community. And Pastor Diana has given instruction and direction, and we've conversed about many of the ways that we're going to do that. But when you start getting active in the community, your church can become a political organization. Suddenly, you got to take a side in a political argument, whether the argument is biblical or not. Suddenly, you got to have a voice in a cultural argument, whether it's from the kingdom of God or not, whether it's about kingdom of God principles or not. And a lot of churches get in trouble here. We're having a great time tonight rejoicing and giving our testimonies. And I thank each and every one of you for your testimonies, because they minister to us. It's not enough to stand up here and preach and teach. We have to know that it's working. We know it works. It's not that we don't know it works. We need to know that it's working in your life. We need to hear you tell us, man, this worked. I got this result. I got that. So I'm grateful for every testimony, because that reinforces that we're heading in the right direction. As we grow and we have a good time fellowshipping and testimony and all that good stuff, we have to be mindful that That is a product of the lordship of Christ, not a product of how good we are, not a product of how smart we are, not a product of how much faith we have. Because faith becomes currency in a faith church. And everybody wants to show how much faith they got by doing the faithiest thing possible. And then they get themselves in trouble because the Holy Ghost isn't directing their movement. Pastor Dana made a good point. There's nothing wrong with going to the doctor. Just be led by the Spirit. A lot of people have died resisting doctors, trying to have more faith than the person sitting next to them. And the Holy Spirit told them, go to the doctor. And it's a thing that could have solved the problem. They could have moved on and focused on something else. But they got stuck because they're trying to outfaith everybody. That's not faith. That's foolishness. You have to be wise. Now, if the Holy Ghost tells you the opposite, you got to trust God. There's no situation where you're going to be smarter than the Holy Ghost. But once we start getting results and we start growing and people start reacting to the anointing on us, they're going to bring their opinions. They're going to bring their ideas. We're going to get, I'm going to use a bad word, just don't feel bad. We're going to get some liberals. We may even get a few Democrats. I know, it's like cursing. They're going to want what's on us to get on to them. And we have to be able. Why y'all laughing? We have to be able to walk in the love of God and lead and be family and let God and the Holy Spirit direct their voting and their actions, because one party can be right today and wrong tomorrow. But the Spirit of God is always right. And I'm just tiptoeing around this thing because I got time to kill. Right? And I don't want to go too deep because I'll be up here until midnight. So bear with me. But we have to be careful, because it's not the culture we created that gets the results. It's the lordship of Jesus Christ. And he's Lord of the Democrat, just like he's Lord of the Republican and the Independent. And you got some people who are just deceived and need wisdom and guidance. And if they can't get it here, that's on us. We are not going to be just the people in this room by this time next year. So one of the things that the Lord has been really impressing on me is teach how to deal with other cultures without compromising our culture. Because as we reach out, you know, I don't think that Jalen gets enough credit. I'm always laughing because we just ask him to do stuff like he don't have nothing else to do. And he never says no. But he's, you know, he needs help. We need like 10 of them, because as we grow, he just has to, well, now I got to add this into the thing, and I got to add that into the thing. And I take that into consideration, and I'm planning stuff for him. I can't say too much, but I'm planning things for many of you. I'm so impressed by everybody's participation. I try not to harp on the same three people, but I can't stitch y'all down, so I don't know who else to congratulate. But we're not the people we were 7 years ago. We're not. And I don't know if we give ourselves enough credit for allowing the Holy Spirit to develop us. We were a hot mess when we came out of that church building. We had a lot of problems. To get here is no small feat. It's no small thing. Don't look at this number as small. Look at it as pure. You got to burn away a lot of dirt to get pure gold. You got to compress a lot of coal to get a diamond. And a diamond ain't never as big as a chunk of dirt it came out of. But people will pay a fortune for a pure diamond. And what we have, Jesus preached to thousands, but his church was 120 people. And it wasn't until those 120 people went to work that the church grew. Jesus could not grow his church by himself. The most people Jesus could get was 120. And that was Jesus. He had to leave it to them to get the rest. And there was no more famous preacher than him in his day. So size don't matter to him. Purity does. The Holy Ghost only, the Holy Ghost didn't fall on 7,000 people. It didn't fall on them 5,000 that ate those loaves and those fishes. It fell on 120 that could get in a room and love each other. So, as we wrap up 2022, how much time I got left? I got 5 minutes. I'm tiptoeing, y'all. I really am. I'm going to have a better mic when I come back. I promise you this, because, see, it was shoulder day yesterday, and my shoulders are burning right now. And trying to hold this mic, that's why I ain't walking around too much, because, I'm not interested. I just want y'all to know where I stand. And I know Pastor Dan, I say I, because it's just shorthand, but we are not interested in having 1,000 members and 1,000 members' problems. Now, a family of 1,000? All right. This times 1,000? Absolutely. So don't put too much pressure on yourself to try to, now let me say this right, because I don't want you to get too comfortable. As you grow, as you fall in love with the Lord, when you're in love, you can't help but talk about the person you're in love with. You become a witness for the person that you love. So as you grow, you will witness more. And people will be attracted to the love you have for Christ. I know some people, I'm thinking of one person in particular, and he says, man, I just feel so good when I'm around you. He was like, you just make my day feel better. But see, every time I go into that space, I pray in the Holy Ghost for 5 minutes before I go in there, and I ask the Lord for the same thing. This is my prayer, that everybody I encounter in this place will experience the kingdom of God through me. Those are the exact words that I say. And I say it every time I go in there. And people, everybody responds to me differently. And they don't know why, but I know why. That's what a witness is. A witness is there's something on you that arrests the problems I brought with me. How are you doing this? And where can I get some? And that's how they come in. So don't get lazy in your witness. But don't make your witness just telling folks about your church. Because that's not witnessing. Witnessing is getting so deep into the Spirit of God that you take him everywhere you go. And people will respond to the Spirit of God on you. And then you can say, look, I can tell you how you can get it. I can show you where you can get it and where I learned it. Then they'll come. And that's going to be our assignment. And then as a church, as a family, as an organization, we as a whole are going to go out into that community. You know, that Walmart thing, that's across the street from us. And I have friends in another ministry that went over there and began to pray for the people. And we had just moved in here. We didn't even have the chairs when that happened. And they went over there and ended up in the Wall Street Journal. Ended up in the Wall Street Journal on the front page. Because they went over there and just started praying for people and just sharing the love of God with people. And they're headquartered in Norfolk. This ain't even their town. Now, that's not to put condemnation on us. We were just moving in here when that happened. But it made me think, wow, when things happen in our town, it's our responsibility. And we're going to take that responsibility. And we're going to stand up. We're not going to allow anything to happen in Chesapeake. Now, I can't speak for Virginia Beach or Norfolk, but Chesapeake is our turf. It's our town. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend the Norfolk people or the Virginia Beach people. I didn't mean to offend y'all. Y'all got to go home. See, I live in Chesapeake like a good Christian's supposed to. So that's why he put us here. But I'm still praying for some of y'all. I'm still praying for some of y'all. Chesapeake is where it's at. All the Chesapeake Christians know what it is. You know who you are. I'll even claim the Western Branch Christians. That's technically Chesapeake too. I'll let y'all have it. How about Hampton Roads? We just going to take Hampton Roads. How about that? Is that better? All right, we're going to take Hampton Roads. I am running out of ways to filibuster until since I can't preach, you won't let me preach, so I can't do what I want to do. And that's all right, Pastor, because I don't really. You gave me 20 minutes. You see how fast that goes? You know better than anyone how fast 20 minutes go, because that's on us. We can both blame Dad for that. You know, I was born into it. You were trained into it. Then you left us hanging. Look at that, oh man. I love y'all. This is my last time up here in 2022. I love y'all so much, and I thank God for every single one of you. And I'm praying for you, and I'm looking forward to great things in the next year. Amen.